Let me just open with prayer. Father, we're coming to open your living word. We ask that by your Spirit, as we read your text and hear the message today, that we would hear from you. That, Lord, if I would say anything that is not of you, that may it fall on deaf ears, but that which is from you, may your Spirit apply it to our hearts, to transform us, change us, equip us, to walk in your love and to show your love to the world around us. We ask your Spirit now to take control, to lead and guide. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, please go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We are picking up in part 2 of a two-part, it's kind of hard to call it a series, two-part sermon, we'll say, of Ephesians chapter 2. That's page 996 if you don't have your Bible with you and you want to use the pew Bible that's in front of you. Last week we started this series called I'm Saved. We looked at the first five verses here in chapter 2 and we saw that what I'm saved from, the reality of my condition apart from and before God's saving work. In the beginning verses here of chapter 2, Paul gives us a clear, albeit dark, but clear picture of our condition before coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to turn our attention to the second half here, verses 6 through 10, where Paul tells us what I'm saved for. But as we get started, I just want to go back and reread these first five verses. Starting in verse 1, Paul writes, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Paul shows us what our condition was before God called us to Christ, what we have been saved from. We were born with sin. We were born spiritually dead, separated from God. But the Bible says that we are, in fact, sinners by nature. In and of ourselves, there is no good in any of us. Granted, we're not as bad as we could be. By comparison, when we measure ourselves against other people, we might actually seem fairly good. And yes, we are all created in the image of God. We are all created by God, loved by God. Every human life has worth and value. But when we compare ourselves to God and his holiness, his standard, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are dead in our sins, dead so far as our relationship with God is concerned. This means that in our own self, in our own way, there's no one able to make a move toward God or think a single thought about God or even correctly respond to God unless God first reveals himself to us and draws us to his Son. Apart from Christ, we are spiritually dead. And our human, we may be spiritually dead, but our human wills are alive towards sin. We are in bondage. Sin is our master. Paul says here that we are by nature objects of God's wrath. Because sin is as bad as the Bible says it is, the wrath of a holy and righteous God is just and reasonable. God's wrath is judicial. It is not angry wrath that just is out of control, but it is the right judgment against sin. Yet all is not lost. There is hope for sinners like us. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. If you ever want a definition of grace, it is these two words, but God. But God. These two simple words make all the differences to our situation when we consider what God has done. Although we ran from God, preferring wickedness and death to righteousness and life, God has run towards us. He's run towards us and done what we could not do for ourselves. He saved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came to us and rescued us from our desperate, deplorable condition. Our position was totally hopeless because we were dead in our sins. We were spiritual corpses. We were enslaved by the world, the devil, and by our own sinful nature. We were trapped, and there was nothing we could do about it. We were by nature under God's just sentence because of our sin. We were objects of God's wrath. And in of ourselves, there is nothing we could do to earn, deserve, or merit God's saving grace. He chose us. He loved us. And he sent his Son to bear under the wrath of God that we deserve. And then he opened our eyes that we might see him. He draws us to himself. He gives us the faith to believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And he makes us alive in Christ. This is grace. If you ever wonder what grace is, stop and consider what we have been saved from. But now I ask, what have we been saved for? Let's pick up again here in verse 4. I want to read it again. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself doing, your own doing. This is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so no one could boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him, in them. The first thing I see here is that we are saved for life. Notice, we were dead, but God made us alive together with Christ. We were dead, but God makes us alive. We were dead, spiritually separated from God, but now we have life. Get this. With Christ. And here's amazing truth. We have this life now. Yes, at the end of this age, in the new heaven and new earth, we will live in his presence for the rest of eternity. But we already have been made alive spiritually. We no longer are separated from Christ. We were dead in our transgressions, but God made us alive together with Christ. And verse 6 goes on to tell us, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. We were spiritually dead, separated from God, incapable of having a relationship with God. But God intervened. And we are saved, made alive, to be in relationship with Christ our Lord. We are saved for a living, personal relationship with God that we can enjoy today. Yes, there will be a future consummation of that relationship when we stand in His presence in heaven and in the new earth. But this relationship is for us today, right now, to enjoy and walk in. We are no longer objects of God's wrath, but beloved. We are no longer children of Satan, but adopted children of the living God. We are no longer slaves to self, sin, and the world, but we are free to pursue righteousness and seek God today. Because we are in the heavenly realm with Christ, we recognize that we belong more to heaven than we do to earth, and therefore we live for the things of heaven rather than the things of earth. All that we do on this earth, all that we are involved with, all that we enjoy and benefit from is received with our eyes firmly fixed on our true position with Christ in the heavenly realms. Therefore, we know that this world is only temporary. All that matters to us is our true home, our true master. And therefore, all that we do here, we do in order to please Him. We must set our minds on the things above and not on earthly things. Unfortunately, all too many Christians have their hearts and minds set on this world. We are more interested in what happens to us, our families, our jobs, our communities, than we care about what happens for the cause of Christ. We seem to find time to visit our friends and families, but fail to find time to pray and meet with our Lord. We have time to pursue our hobbies and interests, but seem never able to find time to read God's word where God speaks to us. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, reveals Himself to us. See, we are saved for a relationship with Christ now. It's not just a future blessing. It's a blessing that we can enjoy today. Yet we live as if we're still dead, separated from God. Only calling out to Him when things get desperate. Paul goes on to say that we are saved for display. God raises us up and seated us with Christ so that in the coming ages He might show His immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. By raising and exalting us up to spiritual life, God is displaying the immeasurable riches of His grace, and He will continue to do so both now and throughout eternity. When people look at us, they ought to see something of God's incredible kindness, and they ought to wonder and ponder the unbelievable grace of God in saving sinners like you and me. We are both now and forever God's display of grace. When people want to know how gracious God is, or when we want to think of God's grace, then we ought to look at ourselves and look at what we were and look at what we are now in Christ. And then we should ask, who made the difference and why? The answer is simple and profound. God made the difference. And He did it because of His love, mercy, grace, and kindness towards us in Christ. He did it to display for all eternity the immeasurable riches of His grace towards sinners. We should never take God's grace for granted. It should always amaze us. And when it does, then our whole lives will be affected by the knowledge of God's grace towards us. We who were dead in our sins and objects of God's wrath. Therefore, we want our lives to point people to God who has saved us in Christ, who has done such for us because of His love, His mercy, His grace, His kindness. We are saved made alive, to be in a relationship with God through Christ now, and we are saved to be on display, to show. To not only know God, to grow in Christ, but to show His grace to the world. To show God's grace, amazing grace, who would take a sinner like me, an object of God's wrath, and save me. You know, there's times I've told Dana the way I was when I was in the Navy. Smoking, drinking, drugs, out in the world. And Dana just shakes her head and she says, "There's, you know, she can't even imagine me being like that. She certainly wouldn't have never married me. She wouldn't have given me a second thought. Because that was who I was, dead in my sins. But God, in His amazing grace and love and mercies, saved me. So now that He can put me on display to show what God can do. So now when I look at someone else, because I can remember from where I was and know that it wasn't in of myself, it wasn't something that I could do, but only what God has done. I can be a display to point people to the same grace that God has given to me. So we are saved by grace. We are saved for life, to be in a living relationship with God right now. And we are saved to be on display, that in the way God has saved us and changed us and has transformed us, we can offer that to the world around us that the same God offers to them. Before we move on, Paul reiterates something here in verse 8 and 9, though. Paul ended verse 5 with the statement, "By grace you have been saved." Our salvation puts God's grace on display for the world to see. Then Paul goes on here in verses 8 and 9. He makes sure he makes this point. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast." Paul wants to make sure we understand that we are saved because of grace, God's unmerited favor, because of God working actively to pursue us. It is not of works that we have done, nor of works that we will do. It's God's gift. It is God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. And it is in God we boast that any of us are saved. Salvation from start to finish is by grace, not of ourselves. Even the very faith that we have to put in Christ is a gift given to us by God. Because without God's grace, we were still dead. Paul drives this point home here because he goes on in verse 10. We are saved for good works. It's an important distinction. For good works, not by good works. Look down here at verse 10. Paul wraps this section up by saying, we are His, that is, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Once again, we are not saved by good works. However, we are saved for good works. Note that Paul says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The ideal behind the word workmanship is the ideal of handiwork. We are God's handiwork. A craftsman will take a piece of wood and out of it, using his great skills, make a violin that will play beautiful music. In the same way, God takes rotten, evil sinners, dead corpses, and He works upon them by grace and makes something beautiful out of them. God makes us new creations, new creations in Christ Jesus. God continues to work in us, molding us and making us beautiful as we are growing in Christ's likeness. This is the work of sanctification. We are Christians because God has worked upon us, made us a new creation in Christ. He has not reformed the old nature and made it better. No. It is that He has given us a new nature. We are a new creation. He has breathed into us new life, the life of Christ. This means that we, as we think of our Christian life, we must not think of it in terms of what we must do. Oh, I must pray more. I must read my Bible more. I must give more. I must serve more. We are saved by grace, and we are sanctified by that same grace. God is at work in us, and it is His work in us that is making us and molding us to become more like Christ, to grow like Christ. But the Holy Spirit applies the work of Christ through our Bible reading, through our time of prayer, through the preaching of God's Word, through Christian fellowship, through our acts of service, through giving, through our obedience. It's not by these things that we are transformed. It is through these things that the Holy Spirit, that God is at work conforming and transforming us. It is not our effort, but God's grace. We are His workmanship. He is at work in us, and that we can work in that He is working through us. Our good works never save us, but good works is the evidence that we are saved. The purpose of God's work in us is so that we will do good works. We were created for good works. God's eternal plan was to save us, but His purpose in saving us was to lead us into a life that aligns with Christ's life, a life full of good works. Christ is our example. We are saved by grace through faith so that we will bear fruit that will last. In one of the books I've been reading about preparing for the discipleship groups, Pastor Ravi Galati writes this: "The gospel came to you because it was headed to someone else. God never intended for your salvation to be an end, but a beginning. God saved you to be a conduit through whom His glorious, life-changing gospel would flow to others. You are a link in the chain of 2 Timothy 2:2, which says, 'What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.'" As God is working in us, He will use us to impart the lives into the lives of others, to impact the lives of others. They ought to be seen in us a life full of good works, because of this is what Christ did, and this is the life that He is transforming us into. We are living a life full of good works. We are doing God's work both inside and outside of the church. We are alive with Christ. He saved us for life. He saved us to display His grace through us. And He saved us for good works, that the gospel may continue through us to the world around us. My question is, what do we do with this? What is God doing in your life? Are you living as if you're already seated with Christ? Or are you living in this world? seeing only this ends? Are you living a life that displays the grace that Christ has given you? Do you recognize our own sinful nature, what we were before Christ, knowing that it is only Christ that changed us? Can we reach out to those who are still trapped and broken and still enslaved to their sins and be gracious to them and offer forgiveness? Are we willing to be obedient and a conduit through which God's grace and love and life flow? If there's an area that we're not, Lord, we ask that you would search our hearts, align us by your Spirit, continue to be the workman working in us, to change us, to transform us, to grow us, to use us for your glory, for the gospel's sake. We open our hearts to you, Lord. Search us, know us, change us, transform us, so that your gospel may be proclaimed as we live by faith, by grace, in your love and mercy. We pray this, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.